This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Knicks did something last night that you always say you want as you begin a best of seven series on the road, and that is steal game one. Steal game one. And even though I acknowledge what happened 30 years ago will have no bearing on what happens tomorrow and the rest of this series, I love looking at history as a guide. So before I tell you what this win yesterday means in regards to Knick history, stealing a game one on the road and a best of seven series, I want to ask you to predict. Do you think what I'm about to tell you will pump up Knick fans or make them say, oh, crap, this doesn't even mean anything?
It's going to pump them up.
It's going to pump them up.
Okay. I'm going to guess it's like 70-something percent of the series they win when they steal game one.
That's a good guess.
That's just my guess.
What about you, Tommy?
You're asking me for an answer, or would I be pumped up?
No, do you think the facts I'm about to give you will pump you up about the Knicks' history stealing a game one on the road?
I'm already pumped up, but I'll take more pumping.
Yeah.
I can never have enough pumping.
I'm going to pump you guys a little bit more.
Pump it, baby.
This is only the second time in 26 years that the Knicks have won a game one on the road in a best of seven series. The last time they did it was recently. It was game one against the Cavs back in 2023. They ended up losing game two and then winning the next three, and they won the series in five. The time before that was 1999 when they won game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, won that series in six. The time before that was a round earlier in 1999 against Atlanta. They won game one. They also won game two, game three, and game four. They swept that series. And the time before that was the first round against Miami that year. Won game one, won the series in five. The last four times the Knicks have won a game one on the road, they've gone on to win the series.
So 100%. Wow, that was off.
Well, 100% if we just stop in 1999. If you want me to go back further, there are some losses. Back in 97, we call it the coming off the bench Knicks got screwed series. They won game one in Miami. They lost game two. And then they ended up losing in seven. They blew a 3-1 series lead that year. That, of course, was the suspensions.
Yeah, but that goes back. That still makes it 80%. We're good.
All right, well, you want me to keep going? Because it's going to get worse now. 1992, remember when they won game one in Chicago against the Jordan Bulls? Lost game two, ended up losing in seven. And same thing in the 1972 NBA Finals with the Lakers. So there isn't a great history of it, but a great recent history of it.
We only care about turn of the century.
Exactly.
That's all that matters.
So the last four times the Knicks won a game one on the road, they would go on and win the series. But I'll give you this factoid. They usually lose game two. The only time they backed it up by winning game one and game two on the road was that 99 series I mentioned against the Hawks in the second round of the postseason. So we'll see if the Knicks can do it. If they can go up 2-0, but stealing a game one on the road is certainly a positive sign towards pulling off this massive upset. 888-808-1019. Mike is in Waterbury. What's up, Mike?
Hey, you hear me?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, long time listener, Evan. I listen to you guys all the time. I call Sal and BT, but Tommy is driving me up an effing wall with his takes. You keep saying the same thing. He's an idiot, dude. I mean, come on. The greatest.
Well, I don't know. What's with the name calling?
I'm not even a Knicks fan, and you're driving me nuts.
What take is he?
To be honest
with you. What take is he?
Good luck with that.
All right. Hold on. Which one made you most aggrieved?
The one with, especially with playing defense, man up. I mean, come on. They used to hack Shaq. Remember when Shaquille O'Neal couldn't shoot foul shots?
Yeah, he's one of the most dominant players in the history of the NBA. Yep. You fouled him because he was horrible at free throws, so it was a good strategy because nobody could defend him. Mitchell Robinson is a defensive player. When you hack a Mitch, to me, it's like kind of like Dog said yesterday. It's a little bit of a wussy move, in my opinion. Hmm.
I see what you're saying, because Shaquille O'Neal, you hacked him because you just didn't want him to dunk on you.
Yeah, but you're not hacking Mitch because you're afraid he's going to score on you. No, you're hacking Mitch to stop a Nick offense that can be very efficient.
No,
you're stopping their possession, Evan, and forcing a bad free throw shooter to make shots.
Jalen Brunson was like getting ready to put ball in basket.
Right.
And then they hacked Mitch.
Yes.
And so, like, that's just a bastardization of the rule.
Well, then complain about the rule. You can't complain about the Celtics executing it correctly.
In real time, when I first saw it, I said they need to change that rule.
That's fine. That's a different discussion.
It's disingenuous to the sport.
That is a very different discussion, but it is a smart strategy.
They need to make it punitive. Make it a technical.
Okay.
So, shot and ball.
Well, that's a fine
argument. If you foul egregiously off the ball.
Right.
Shot and ball.
It is a fine argument to say, hey, we got to change this. This isn't good for basketball, because it happens a lot with bad free throw shooters, but yes, it is a smart strategy. Now, I'm writing down Tommy's terrible takes. That's what we're calling it today.
Mm-hmm.
Because on this Tuesday, in which you should be in a good mood, bro, you should be the happiest guy in this city. Knicks win. Mets had a great win. Knicks in six. You're like the only guy around here that actually picked the Knicks to win this series. And I commend you for that if you turn out to be right. So you should be in a happy
mood. Yeah, I feel like a little kid that's at Disney today, and I pretty much could do whatever I want, and mommy and daddy aren't going to say anything. So
I think that's what's happening.
Cotton candy, the rides, the whole deal.
No, I think that's well described, because listen to these terrible takes so far today. I'm writing them down.
All right, let's hear it.
Mikal Bridges' playoff performance was the greatest playoff performance in the history of the Knicks. Number two, okay. Kawhi Leonard and OG Anunoby, basically the same guy.
Yep.
And number three, the Celtics are a bunch of wusses for fouling Mitchell Robinson.
And stand by that one, yes.
And he's right, because he's in such a good place. Like, right. We don't want to, like, kill him. But I tell you, three terrible takes in an hour, my expectation is he's got two or three more left in him. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You mean today?
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. Forever. I was going to say,
today is it's maybe two or three. But forever is probably like 50.
Well, forget forever, because that will lose count. Yeah. But I definitely think, so you're going to say he's got two more terrible takes left in him?
Yeah, especially when we get to the Mets.
No, we're not going to get to the Mets, so don't worry. It'll be fine. How many more terrible takes does he have?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, Tommy?
Yes.
Tommy, how many terrible takes
do you guys pay attention to the show? I'm just confused sometimes.
I do pay attention to the show. I'm just
we're
thinking
doing
about
stuff
how quickly I can get away from Tommy in the next 3.5 hours. So give me five more terrible takes.
Five more terrible takes?
He's on a roll, because you know what? He's starting to heat up.
Yeah. So that's it. And I'm sitting on one that I think Knicks fans will be annoyed at me, so I'm going to save it for a little bit.
Oh, you got a terrible take that's going to annoy Knicks fans?
It might.
Well, let's see if we can get to four.
Nah, I don't want to say.
He's teasing him.
I alluded to it a little bit on a video that was posted on our socials last night. I saw a little something in the Celtics' eyes last night. I'll just say that.
Well, no, stop.
I didn't see the same look that I saw last year from the Celtics.
So what are you saying?
So they've lost their killer.
Well, I just, you know, KP took his ball and went home in the first quarter, whatever he was going on, and they just look like a team that was kind of going through the motions last night.
So what is your opinion? I'm like, you're playing mind
games. No, I'm just saying that
this
doesn't look like the same team that we saw last year.
So the Celtics are cooked. Is that what you're saying?
Didn't say that.
Well, what the hell are you saying?
I just said what I had to say. I said I'm going to sit on it. I'm giving you a little teaser.
Stop sitting on it. Nobody wants to go reanalyze your video 15 times.
I didn't say to reanalyze my video. I'm not going to be goaded into it. I said that I will wait on that one.
Before you get the calls, this will be the third time out I take in 2 days.
You've already used your full and your 20.
The reason Tommy is doing this and teasing, he's feeling his oats. Let's just throw it out there right now. I don't care if you were saving this for later. Ben Stiller followed Tommy on Twitter following the Knicks game last night, and the video he made on WFAN, Ben Stiller followed positive Tommy.
I get it.
So now Tommy feels, I don't know, new wings as a Knicks fan to say whatever he wants, because if his takes are good enough to attract Ben Stiller, well, surely they're good enough for everybody right now.
I will tell you, Ben Stiller and Tommy Lugauer are perfect together, because there are two more obnoxious Knicks fans in this city than Ben Stiller and Tommy Lugauer. They are perfect together.
Dog.
I mean,
generational talent.
They are like a marriage made in heaven. Both great fans, by the way. Respect the hell out of both of them. But my God, they are both the biggest Knicks fanboys in the world. So you guys should hang out. He should take you to a game.
He should.
He should.
Somebody should.
And he'd love you. I think you guys would get along incredibly well.
I think Ben recognizes the brilliance. I think he wants to follow Positive Tommy. He realizes I'm a generational talent. And at least Ben Stiller was not at the Met Gala last night. I guess more on that in a little bit.
Let's go to Chris in East Hanover. What's up, Chris?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call, as always. Cheeky, you got to do a favor. You got to stop taking all these days off. I mean, yesterday, I tell you, these guys were, like, unhinged in the studio. They were talking about...
Well, they don't have anybody control
unhinged.
Them.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious, bro. They were... I just spent 2 hours talking about whether the Knicks series win would be bigger than the Giants over New England, and then an hour on the uniform choices by Carter. These guys were nuts yesterday.
By the way, Chris, just for the record on that... We have, coming up a little bit later on, Boston Sports Talk Radio also got caught into that web of what would be a bigger upset. And we will get the Boston perspective coming up
a little bit
after 4 o'clock.
It's not even a question.
What's not a question?
It's an easy answer. It is an easy answer.
Hold on. What is the easy answer?
Chris knows, just like I know. Well, it's all good.
What is the bigger upset, then? Don't dance around it.
The result was winning a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Like,
you got a trophy.
I'm a huge Knicks fan. But if they win this series, it's a big upset, but it's not bigger than that.
I agree. It is bigger. You guys are wrong.
I want to be pessimistic here, just because watching the game last night, and you guys know I'm a huge Knicks fan. You know, I'm happy they won. I don't think they stole it. I kind of agree with Tiki earlier about, I think, the arrogance of Mazzola, who is completely arrogant, and the team. They kind of gave it to us by just keep bombing threes, you know, one after the other, you know, when they were down, we were down 20 and get us back in the game. Now, listen, we showed a lot of grit. I'm happy the way we played. I think we have life in this series, but we've got to fix the defense, man. I think, what, like 16 or 18, almost half those 43 missed shots, they were uncontested three.
Right. I would love to go back, and maybe we should do this, and analyze how many of the 63s were contested, wide open, good looks,
NBA,
forced.
NBA stat, what is it? I know that they have the stats on it somewhere.
Yeah, I don't believe them. You got to look at it with your own eyes.
This is true. This is very true. But they do have the stats on
it somewhere.
It's
like defensive metrics of Pete Alonso.
I'll go do it in one of the breaks.
Look at you.
Go tell you. It's what's contested within like 3 feet, 2 feet.
Well, that's what makes it so kind of convoluted on it. Like, what is a good look? What is a bad look? What is contested? It's subjective. Like, right. We could sit here and argue at some of these attempts and say, oh, that's a good look. Oh, no, that's not a good look. But here's where I completely disagree with Chris and you on this. And I've heard this a lot, so I know I'm kind of going against the grain here. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were arrogant. I think they were trying to get back to what they do.
Well,
they attempt a lot of threes. They set a record
this
year.
So they do, and you're right. I think two things can be right here. So you're right, but I also felt like they were just trying to blow the Knicks out, like, completely out of the water. And so instead of, we're up by 20, we're going to come, you know, bring the ball up, we're going to suck the life out of the clock, and then we'll take a three-point shot.
Right, right.
They were coming up, pulling up with, you know, 10 seconds into the clock and shooting contested three-pointers.
I'll tell you why.
It was like, what the hell is the point?
I'll tell you why you do that. But I want to remind everyone, you are listening to WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM, HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. I think with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, you're not changing who you are. You're not looking at the score and saying, hey, let's milk the clock, because in the modern NBA, you can't milk the clock with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. We saw it last night. Things can change quickly.
You just can't take the shot with 18 seconds on the clock.
If it's a good look, you can.
But they weren't good looks.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We have to go back and analyze.
Now I have to go look.
Because here's the problem. You say they weren't good looks. I'm sure some of them weren't if we go back and watch it. But they all weren't bad looks.
Here's the thing. For Jason Tatum, when Jalen Brunson is checking him, you know, the primary defender, you can rise up from 25 feet, 26 feet and take a shot. It's a good look.
Yes.
Because Jalen's is out overmatched.
And how many times has Jason Tatum hit shots like that?
Of course. But he took a bunch of them last night, and they didn't. Some of them didn't even look close. So they ultimately are bad looks.
Jason Tatum was awful last night.
Awful.
And he said something after the game. Let me know when you have the audio with us, Tommy, because this was interesting. And I want to bring you back to 2 weeks earlier when, early in the Detroit series, I was kind of alarmed by something Jalen Brunson did. Not said, but did. When he kind of put his hands up to signal that a Piston player had fouled out.
Right.
And I said he's thinking too much of the officials. Jason Tatum was asked about his performance last night. He was asked about the way it was officiated. And I thought one of his answers, and I'm going to let you listen to the question and the answer, gives me a warning sign that Jason Tatum, too, is overthinking the impact of officiating in this series. And maybe kind of complaining about calls without complaining about calls. Here's Jason Tatum after last night's game.
How do you not let your frustrating with lack of calls prevent you from attacking if you don't think you're going to get a call? Is that connected at all?
No, that don't connect. I mean, it's the playoffs. Like, you know, we probably should just play without the refs. Like, it's how physical it is. So, you know, that don't really cross my mind at all.
We could just probably play without the refs. It's almost sounded like a passive-aggressive way about complaining. Did you read that as well or no?
A little bit. It's just basically saying we don't need them. Let's just go play. And they're disrespecting what we fight all season long to develop, which is respect from the refs.
Well, I take it as they're not making calls anyway, so why have them?
Right.
But the counter to Jason would be when you're attempting 63s, the likelihood is you're not getting a lot of calls because you're not taking it to the tin. Let's go to Dennis in Woodbridge. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, you were talking about the Brunson play when he was going in for a breakaway layup. So, listen, I officiate high school basketball. That's the stupidest rule in the world, that you could just foul a bad foul shooter intentionally away from the ball, nothing to do with the play, to stop a breakaway layup.
Right.
Now, high school ball, that's an intentional foul. Guy gets two shots. Okay, he's a bad shooter, but you retain the ball. That solves the problem of you doing it again. They need to change that rule. Nice. That was totally ridiculous.
It's kind of like
that's
take foul.
That they do that in high school ball, but they don't do it in the NBA.
Well, they have the take foul now, which has helped on, you know, eliminating fast breaks by quickly committing a foul. But here's where I'll differ with you guys on this one. I'll have to go back and watch if you guys really think I'm wrong. It felt like the Celtics were trying to give that foul long before Brunson was attacking the basket, and it wasn't called, and that was what they were saying. Like, hey, we're grabbing him. How many times do you have to see we're grabbing him make the call? That they were trying to grab Mitchell Robinson relatively early before Brunson even got to the basket.
But if you really wanted to do that, you just wrap him up.
You're right. It wasn't a full wrap.
Right.
I think it was Pritchard, if memory serves correct, and it was almost like a gentle tug.
Right. It was like his hand was on his back, and he was just kind of like, you know, jerking it a little bit. It wasn't really... It didn't look like he was trying to foul him. In fact, it was confusing because they stopped the game for a second.
Right.
Did the basket count or was there a foul before? They had to go check it at the monitor, and then they, you know, ultimately put him on the free throw line where he missed, predictably. And so, I get what they were trying to do. I just still think it's just a tacky, stupid philosophy.
Well, I think that it's not a bad philosophy if it works. Like, nothing's a bad strategy if it works. Like, I've said on the air numerous times about Aaron Judge that if I am an opposing manager, I would not face him. Now, is that frustrating for Yankee fans? Of course. Is that frustrating for baseball fans? Of course. Mm-hmm. Is that frustrating for fantasy owners? Of course. But yet, if I'm Mendoza and the Mets are facing the Yankees, I'll say it again, I wouldn't face the guy.
Right.
So just because it's a tacky strategy or it's boring for the audience doesn't make it the wrong strategy. The league could look into changing it. But getting back to the hack a bad free throw shooter strategy, what I've noticed is growing up, hack a Shaq was the thing. And there was a reason, as Tommy laid out. Shaq was a great player. He was unstoppable. He can't hit free throws, foul him. We live in an NBA in which if you have a bad free throw shooter, they're going to hack everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying this to Tommy off air. I'll bore it with you for 10 seconds here. When the Nets were playing the Celtics earlier this year, they hacked at Claxton. Like, it is such a common thing in this league now where if you have a bad free throw shooter in an offensive-driven league in which you're shooting more threes than ever and offenses are more efficient than ever, these are all facts, why wouldn't you take a bad free throw shooter and stick him on the line? So before the league changes the rules, which is a discussion for July, not for today, you as a coach have to strategize around it. I mentioned earlier, if you're just tuning in, play Mitch when you're not in the bonus,
right,
or they're not, or you're not in the bonus, so that if they foul you, they're going to have to give four or five fouls just to send you to the line.
Yeah.
So if he comes out to start the second quarter, they can't hack a Mitch because they're not just going to automatically commit a bunch of fouls.
True, but that means putting Mitch in at the beginning of quarters. And so,
well, that's part of strategizing around
it. Is, unless you actually need a scorer in there.
Well, so,
that becomes the challenge. Is if you need to, if you need to ramp up the scoring of whatever, this is your specific game plan for this moment, Mitch isn't going to help you. Now, he'll help you with offensive rebounding. He'll help you defensively, obviously, in those minutes. But you just lose so much scoring.
It's part of strategizing around it. Yeah. There are many ways you could attack this.
Which is why they should both start, to be honest with you.
Mitch and Cat.
The double big.
No, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Look, there are ways you can go around this. You could just bench Mitchell Robinson, which Tibbs did briefly for Precious Achiuwa. You could just play through it and say, hey, Mitch, can you make a couple of free throws? Like, that's also a possibility.
Can you get up 100 shots every day, please?
Right. I think Mitch works his ass off.
Yeah. He's not good at it.
I think the problem is he just hasn't gotten significantly better. And here's the other problem. And this is always brought up by one old guy caller once a month. So I'm going to be the guy. Just call me Stewie from Staten Island.
Okay.
You know what this Mitchell Robinson should do? He should take a page out of the great Rick Barry. And he should just flip it underhand. Just flip it underhand. Barry was amazing with it. But these guys are too prideful. They're too prideful because of the way it looks. But all they should do is just flip it in. And by the way, that old guy is 1,000% right.
Of course.
I'm not even mocking the phone call. I'm taking it. I'm using it for myself right now because it is true. Let's go to Kendrick and Suffern. Hey, Kendrick.
What's up, guys? Real quick, Evan and Sean, I'm a little disappointed talking and debating the biggest upset in New York sports. You didn't bring up the Bubble Nets beating the Bucks.
That was amazing that night. They were like 16-point underdogs. It was crazy.
Yeah, so I throw that in there. But I did want to call IBO, give some flowers. But I also want to address Mr. Lugauer, because I think sometimes when he gets on a roll, when he's on Disney and he's able to do whatever he wants, he says things without saying them, and he doesn't even realize. So listening, real
what does
quick,
that mean?
Mikhail, I'll get to him, Kiki. I'll be quick, I promise. All right, so real quick, Mikhail Bridges is kind of turning into, you know, he has the Iron Man reputation, but he's kind of turning into, ironically enough, Giancarlo Stanton, because he's turning up at the playoff time, and so no matter what these guys do, they're always going to go back to the contract or the trade or the expectations.
Right.
And it's unfair to these guys because they have shown up in big moments. And I'm always going to be a Bridges guy as much as I'm going to hate on him now that he turned on us. But he is worth what they gave up for him. The other thing with Mr. Lugauer here.
So if I have this correct in the first hour, Tommy has said they played last night with Kawhi Leonard. They had the best Knicks playoff performance, a clutch Jalen Brunson performance, and the Celtics played historically bad, and they still just managed to get to overtime with them. Is this what we're saying?
Well, you forgot the part where I called them cowards for the Hakimic strategy, and had they not done that, the Knicks would have scored buckets there. There would be no overtime. Knicks would have won by, let's call it, you know what? I'm in a good mood, Kendrick. 10. Knicks would have won by 10.
Oh, okay. So how about we put an L on the line for game two?
How about we put an L on the line? No, I have them in 6. Why would I do that?
Well, you just seem very confident.
Well,
with
why shouldn't I be?
Knicks team are, well, you should be very happy. And they earned the win yesterday. Don't get me wrong. And in terms of the three-point shooting last night, the reason why, you know, in hindsight, it's easy to point back and say they took too many threes. And in the moment, you're questioning why they keep shooting. They don't need to shoot.
Right.
But they're also a very confident team. So the other part of it is when you're up 20 and you're not hitting your shots, it's a great opportunity to try to get hot. So, you know, they didn't shoot 45 missed threes in one shot. And so I think maybe the Celtics were kind of, you know, yes, taking the Knicks for granted a little bit, but also trying to get their rhythm going as well, because you're up 20. You don't really think you're going to lose.
I also think, Kendrick, they're trying to overcompensate for what happened in that opening round where they were not getting nearly as many three-point shot attempts off as they did during the regular season.
But does that matter?
I think
ultimately, they won the series in 5. Mm-hmm. I guess Orlando was a little bit scrappy, but whatever. Does it matter?
Yeah, here's where I think it matters. And I'm just projecting, if I was in the practice facility with Joe Mazzulla and the Boston Celtics, I think that Coach Mazzulla is saying, hey, we have to be who we are. Mm-hmm. And who we are is a team that attempted more threes than any other team in NBA history. So, yeah, we need to get back to doing that. And so, sure, we beat the Magic in 5, but if we're going to win an NBA championship for the second straight year, we have to do some things better.
Right.
Now, I'm just projecting here. Is that what Joe Mazzulla was doing? I don't know. But that's what I think was going on. That's why I don't buy this. They were getting arrogant. I think the Celtics were being the Celtics. They win by the 3, they die by the 3. And I'll give you a little prediction. Like, the Celtics are going to have a game in which they also attempt an ungodly amount of threes, and instead of making 25% of them, they're going to make 45% of them. Mm. Because that's what they do. That's who they are. We'll answer the question. How many draft picks has Mikal Bridges now earned back with his performance so far in the postseason? We also have a brand new edition of Posted and Toasted, and Aaron Boone's handling of Devin Williams. We address it all coming up within the next 20 minutes. 888-808-1019. Does it make you in your mind say, okay, gave up 5 firsts, now 2 of them he's already kind of worth?
Yes. Yes.
So how many draft picks?
At least
picks?
A half of one last night. At least.
A half of one for last night?
At least. Because they stole game one on the road against the Boston Celtics.
And they don't do that without Mikal Bridges.
Exactly right.
So right now, of the 5 first rounders they gave up, not even including the second rounder that they gave up,
Didn't we do this before?
Well, we did it during the first round, but is he adding to his total?
He's definitely adding. But I'm just saying, I can't remember what we settled on. Was it 2 or 3?
2.5.
2.5.
So this other half gets you to 3?
That's right. You gave me the half for, I forget what play it was. It was a big play he had against the Pistons.
Yeah, there was a big dunk you wanted to give him a half on the pick for.
Oh, yeah, because the lefty dunk on Cade Cunningham, that he didn't even have it in his hand. He got a half a play.
So he's
up to 3 now.
He's worth 3.
He's up to 3.
How many is he worth now, Tommy?
Mikal Bridges has already paid off his debt.
Oh, stop.
Already?
Already.
You got to win something to pay off that much of a debt.
I want to warn you in a friendly way. Because if there's anyone with experience in terms of trading a lot of draft picks, it's me. So I'll never forget this day. I was in Toronto, Canada for Nets-Raptors Game 7, the Paul Pierce-Kevin Garnett year, if you will. And Paul Pierce, if you recall, got the game-winning block. He ended Game 7 with a block of Kyle Lowry. I mean, that's pretty big.
Huge.
Now, first round I'll give you, but still a walk-off block, if you will, by Paul Pierce.
How often does that happen?
It doesn't happen often.
No.
And I think I said to my dad as we were leaving, that's worth all the first round picks. Mm. Now, obviously, that's one of the dumbest statements a human could make because they got knocked out in the second round.
Yeah.
It ended, and of course those picks turned into Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and basically built the Celtic dynasty. So that's my only caution. Like, he's been great in this postseason, but if it ends here, which I still think it will, I was on record yesterday, Teek, saying they'll win game one and lose the next 4, so they're right on line with my prediction. Not a troll, just an actual prediction. We'll see if I'm right. Then I don't think you'd be saying that a year or two from now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think The only difference, the big difference, Tommy, is that we needn't worry that the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Brooklyn Nets are going to turn those picks into championship.
Well, it's
caliber.
Not about the Nets.
Boston
it's about
Celtics.
No. You got that wrong, sir. It's not about the Nets or the Celtics turning them into picks. It's about you being bad enough for those picks to be valuable lottery picks. And obviously, as you sit here today, you don't think that's possible because you're not thinking about 4 years from now, nor should you. But it's not about turning magic from manure. It's about what is your window, and 4 years from now, what do those picks turn into?
Isn't that a depressing way to live as a sports fan?
Yeah, I don't think you should live that way.
I think it's just ridiculous.
The other way...
That the Net fan is thinking about...
No, we're not talking about the Nets. We're talking about the Knicks.
I know, but the
you Nets... guys keep bringing up the Nets. I'm not bringing them up. I'm talking about your angle of trading those picks, not about the Nets.
It's not even about that.
They're in a different situation.
But you said the reason that the Boston Celtics turned into this team was because of the trade for... Those three guys, right? And so the Boston Celtics did an unbelievable job, and it was only because the Nets sucked.
Well, yeah.
So
yeah,
what
the
I'm
Nets
saying
sucked,
is,
helped out quite a bit.
How depressing is it as a Nets fan?
I'm over it.
That you got to sit here and wait and just hope that the Knicks suck 4 years from now.
Oh, that part about it. Yeah, that part's depressing. I thought you meant the fact that the Nets built the Celtics. I'm over that.
No. Oh,
yeah, forget whatever.
That's history. That's water under the bridge. I don't even care about that. I'm just talking about real time.
Oh, it's terrible. No, it's just absolutely atrocious. That's why being
that's a terrible sports existence.
Oh, it's the worst sports existence in the history of sports.
Because it's never like there's going to be three more seasons before you even start to think about it.
Well, there's a lot of things that could change, but I'm not going to get into that right now.
Yeah, you're going to trade him for somebody else.
They could. No, there's a lot of other aspects of it, but
most likely Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Don't get me started. Don't let me call a Nets timeout on this day. I don't want to do it. The other aspect of it is using those picks to trade for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So this offseason or next offseason, if somebody becomes available, that's Giannis. Where you could say, hey, if we had those picks, we could have used it.
Giannis.
But there's nothing Mikal Bridges can do about that. All he can do is bust his ass and play the way he's played. And I think we'd all admit, at least defensively, which is the thing that excited you the most upon that trade, he's done everything you could want in this postseason.
I'd be surprised if he even thinks about it. The picks. Like, he understands. It's exactly what you said.
Right.
He's with the Knicks. He's familiar with a couple of these guys. He's played to a high level defensively, at least, for most of the season. And the last thing on his mind is, oh, man, I really got to prove myself to these guys.
Well, do athletes think about the money that they're being paid and the pressure that comes with that?
But they don't think about the picks that the team gave up for them.
What a guy got traded for.
Yeah, you don't think about that. You think about being where you are.
Well, you don't like, know. You haven't been traded for draft picks.
I know, but I just...
You're a career giant.
I can't think of guys who ever thought about, you know, man, I really got to earn this because they gave up a first-round pick for me or a second-round pick for me.
No, it's a great question.
It doesn't
question.
Seem intuitive like you would give a crap.
I don't know what the guys think. I would assume like Josh Hart always has a good sense of humor about it because he says, hey, Mikhail, you got traded for a ninth grader. And he's kind of right about that. Or, hey, Mikhail, you got traded for a middle schooler. Because the truth is, one of those picks later on is a kid who's right now in middle school.
No, you're right.
So I think everybody looks at it differently. My only point is, as well as he's playing, as much as I like to have fun with, all right, that was worth a first-round pick. That was worth two first-round picks. Ultimately, what's going to make this trade worth it is winning a championship.
Right.
Or getting to a finals. Like, I would even say getting to a finals. We had the discussion on Soto, on the Soto trade. Like, hey, was it worth it? You gave up Michael King. You gave up this. Well, they got to a World Series. So I think what's ultimately going to define if it's worth it or not is not the individual play he makes, which was great last night on numerous occasions down the stretch. I think it's more ultimately where the team goes. It's time for a brand new edition of Posted and Toasted.
It's time for Posting and Toasting.
What happened? You're not prepared today?
I forgot about it. I do have it, but you kind of quick pitched me there.
It's 3:30.
You kind of hacked the loogie on that one.
We do it every. He's distracted thinking of his next dopey sports opinion.
Hold on. Did he not go quickly from that conversation into the thing?
He
was not even a breath.
He always does that, though.
Yeah, nobody does it at 3:30. All right, set me up again.
Okay.
You want to set him up?
Is it not 3:30?
It's 3:34. Yes, I know. It's his day. We're not going to attack him.
Yes, that's true.
We're gonna. You know what? This is Tommy's day. Much like the bad sports opinions. Much like this. We love you, bro. It's all right. Your day. It's time for Posted and Toasted.
It's time for Posted and Toasted.
May 9th, 2024. Jalen Brunson is to the Knicks as Aaron Rodgers is to the Jets. Is that Sean Morash, Evan Roberts, Tommy Lugauer, or Keith McPherson?
Wait, read this again.
Jalen Brunson is to the Knicks as Aaron Rodgers is to the Jets.
So this was 2024.
It was almost a year ago to the day.
I'm confused by this because I can't tell if this is hating on somebody.
It's very confusing to you.
You're
like, what does this mean?
Because the Aaron Rodgers last season throws me off after what happened two seasons ago.
So remember, Knicks are in the playoffs.
I understand that.
Aaron Rodgers is recovering from his torn Achilles. Jalen Brunson is to the Knicks as Aaron Rodgers is to the Jets.
Oh.
Even the music ran out.
This is so confusing.
Okay. Wait.
Give me my options again.
Hold on, but he also just said Jalen Brunson. First, you said Mikal Bridges.
No, he didn't.
No, I didn't.
You really aren't listening.
He's really not. I think he's checked out today.
I'm going to say that this is not a. It's not a Knicks fan.
It's not a Knicks fan. So. All right, so that rules out Tommy, but that leaves me, Keith, and Sean. So who is it?
I'm going to say it's Sean.
Is it?
You're wrong.
It is not Sean. I really thought about that one.
Almost had it.
He was perfect because Sean's not a Knicks fan or a Jet fan. So
I know.
It was right there. It is not Sean Morash.
Are you self-loathing enough for you to be you?
Is it Evan?
You're wrong.
No.
Keith McPherson.
KM to AM.
Jalen Brunson is to the Knicks as Aaron Rodgers is to the Jets.
So I know he's Cowboys, but...
He's a Nets fan.
Oh. Yeah. That dude. I get it.
Could be a little double troll action.
It was definitely a troll.
All right.
For a second, I'm thinking Jalen Brunson. That's a positive thing he's saying, right? But then I remembered he was hurt all last postseason.
That's what I'm
thinking. The Nets still in the league.
I think when Jalen got hurt, it was, it's pretty much the same thing.
Yes.
This is from June 5th, 2011. Leaving Boston. Great city. Terrible accents. How do you manage to mangle the word car? It's three letters long. Is that Evan Roberts, Greg Giannotti, Al Dukes, or Sean Morash?
Definitely Al Dukes.
Eat me.
You are correct. Mm. And he's right about that.
Ha.
I don't understand for a city that's so close to us geographically, they're right there, how they talk so differently. Ka? No ma? Like, how'd that happen? Like, it doesn't even make any sense to me. And I like Boston. Boston's a beautiful city.
That's Tracy's favorite city, my wife's.
Her favorite city?
Yeah, because it's close to Newburyport. And we like to go to Newburyport. We haven't been in a while.
So was it Newburyport a favorite city?
Well, because Boston was on the way, so we would stop. Okay. And go to Cheers. Went to a Red Sox game.
Nice.
Kind of cool.
I think we may go to Boston next week. You guys up for it?
Sounds like a
little
plan.
Knicks road trip. This one is from December 3rd, 2012. I just brought my coins to the bank. Over $200. Tremendous. Who is bringing their coins to the bank? Is it Evan Roberts, Greg Giannotti, Tommy Lugauer, or Sean Morash?
Sean Morash.
You're wrong.
Dang it. Brought my coins to the bank. $200. That's a lot of money in coins, man.
I tell you. Collects $200 in coins.
I have, but I knew that wasn't me because I've always used the Coinstar machines at the supermarket.
But don't they charge like a percentage?
Yeah, but who cares at that point?
What do you mean, who cares? I don't want to give him any of my money.
It's definitely Evan.
You're wrong.
What?
It's not me.
Who is it then, Gio? Tommy.
You're wrong.
Lugie.
Tommy.
Do you still do that, Tommy?
No. My best recollection of why I would have, A, done this, B, tweeted this. This was, would you say 2000?
This would be 2012.
All right, so this is single Lugie. This is doing damage. I assume I was accumulating quarters and stuff like that when I was going out drinking. Because I wasn't a plastic man back in the day. I wasn't Stacey Augman. I was just the cash man. I didn't want to use my credit card. So I would have a lot of dollar bills or loose change. You can make your jokes. But so I'm assuming at the end of the year, because it was December of partying, I went, you know what? I got all this freaking change in my apartment. Let's go see what I got. I got $200. New Year's Eve.
How do you get change by going out?
That's the only thing I can think of, because why else would I have loose change?
I don't know, but if you had change and
Just tip the bartender. Yeah, I'm sure someone's saying that. No, I'm sure I did, but I'm sure I did. But you know what? After when you're drunk, you get the munchies, so you got a slice of pizza. You know what I'm saying? You're spending.
I think he took the coins back from the bartender.
I would imagine I wouldn't.
I think that's what happened.
I would imagine I wouldn't.
It's kind of sad though.
No, because for a while when I was younger, when I lived in the city, we had buckets of coins.
Right.
And same now, thing. And again, I don't remember how we collected them or why we kept them.
But now no one gets coins anymore. No.
For meters, I would assume you collected them. Parking meters if you lived in the city.
Probably. No, but how'd you get them?
We put them in the pinky banks for our kids.
But how'd you get them to begin with? Like, that's the question. You probably used cash a lot. You got the coins, you put it in your pocket, and then you would stick it in the piggy bank when you were done.
Yeah, I really...
Because back in the day, like, most of us would use cash. Now, you never
use cash. We
rarely
think about cash anymore, ever. We're at Disney. I just gave Brooklyn my credit card. Said, just go.
Nah, I get you, man.
Get what you need.
The only time now I ever use cash for years now is when I tip parking.
Right.
When I pick up my car after work.
Right.
That is it. Right. I give $5. That's it. Like, that's the only time I ever touch cash. And because of that, we never have that ability to have coins and do anything with it. Like, if I looked around my house for coins, I wouldn't find any.
I just went to the ATM today to load up on five.
Just for that.
Just for that.
Literally.
Solely for that.
That's it. All right, final post, and then we'll get back to your phone calls, 888-808-1019. This is from June 13th, 2013. I'm waiting for the E. Subway performers in full argument about playing too loud over each other, only in New York City. Ha ha. Hashtag Subway Band Battle. That is interesting.
What year was that?
That was 2013.
I pray this isn't me, because this tweet sucks.
Okay, well, let's find out. Is it Sean Morash, Brandon Tierney, Tommy Lugauer, or Tiki Barber?
That's probably me.
Hit his jock in the dirt and kill him.
I'm a head out.
You remember tweeting that, Tiki?
No, but I know that Sean would never be taking the E. I know you don't take the subway, so...
I used to all the time.
But you wouldn't be taking the E.
That's true.
And Tommy, who was the other one? Brandon never took the subway, and I took the E every day.
And do you remember this incident where the bands were arguing with each other?
Wow. Yeah, they would fight all the time. Well, being so loud. Hey, why don't you move down? I was here first. I'm like, bro, just how about you collab? maybe you make some money together.
That tweet didn't sound like something you would type, which is why I said that.
Well, I mean, when Twitter first came out,
I guess that's
at least when I first got Twitter, I was kind of interested in it.
I guess that's true.
Now I loathe it.
That sounded like one of those I would have like done it like 20 years old and felt like, oh, why'd I write that? You know?
Meanwhile, I wrote that.
Well said. If you find any old posts you'd like to have used or featured in Posted and Toasted, send that on over. Quick thought about Aaron Boone last night. I ripped him yesterday, Tiki, while you weren't here for his decisions late in Sunday's game in terms of not using Ben Rice or Austin Wells as a pinch hitter. But I am a fair Aaron Boone criticizer. I thought last night he handled everything brilliantly. I have to be honest with you. He gets a great performance by Carlos Rodon, who has to battle the rain and battle the rain delay. He gets Fernando Cruz to get a big out to get out of the seventh inning. And now it's the eighth inning. You have a three-run lead. It's the bottom of the Padres' batting order. And Devin Williams is on a little bit of a heater.
Mm-hmm.
He's pitched well his last few performances since they took him out of the closer's role. So to me, I looked at this performance and I said, oh, this is perfect. Like, this is an absolute get-right spot for Devin Williams. And he got the first guy out, threw his airbender, got a strikeout. It's like, ah, here we go. This guy's put together, I think it would be his third or fourth consecutive solid performance. Here we go. We're on the right track. And then he issues a walk.
Mm.
And then he gives up a blue pit. And then, and I'm telling you.
It's always that blue pit.
It's the blue pit. And here's the other thing that ruined it for him. Very underrated. Mike Schilt ruined it for him. Because after he strikes out Tatis, Schilt lost his mind. He threw his glasses down. He threw his lineup card down. And he got run. And he got run because Devin Williams got the benefit of a low strike.
Right.
Okay. And I think that delay messed with his head.
Mm.
Then he issues another walk.
So Schilt did it on purpose then?
I don't even know if he did it on purpose. It was like a happy accident, if you're the San Diego Padres. And at that point, the bases are loaded with two outs. You've got Luke Weaver warming up. The crowd is restless at Yankee Stadium. Anybody who sat through all the rain and the terrible weather and the rain delay. And he goes to Luke Weaver. And to me, I'm like, all right, he's doing this perfectly.
Right.
He guided Devin Williams back into a sort of high leverage situation, but not really because it's a three-run lead with the bottom of the order. He's pitched well recently, and you're not allowing him to completely blow it because you're going to Luke Weaver, your best reliever, with the bases loaded and two out. And here's the bottom line. Luke Weaver failed.
Right.
Now he's,
he overthought it.
Well, he didn't get it done. He gave up back-to-back huge hits.
No. I mean, Boone overthought it.
No, I thought Boone was perfect. I don't think he overthought anything. I think he managed that eighth inning brilliantly. I think the problem is his horses didn't come through.
Right.
Where am I wrong? Like, what would you have done differently? Not go to Devin Williams? Is that what we're at now?
I would have left Cruz in, yes.
Okay, but don't you think that off of a couple of good performances, that this with a three-run lead and the bottom of the order was actually the perfect time to continue to guide Devin Williams back to relevance?
But here's where you're wrong. Fernando Cruz, for the most part, has been rock steady and the second best reliever, reliable reliever for the Yankees. To go to him for a third of an inning, you would have stayed with him had Devin Williams not been on the train to gain back confidence. You took Cruz out because you thought, I'm going to continue to build up Devin Williams' confidence, and you managed the game to help Devin Williams and not help the team.
No, right. You also
managed. No. I believe Devin Williams had not struggled all year, and you would have kept with Cruz there.
It's not like Cruz is used to being a third of an inning pitcher.
Yeah, but he also pitched two innings 2 days earlier, and if you want him to be available today or tomorrow, I think if you pitch him in that situation where he's only 2 days removed from pitching multiple innings, he's probably not available. So I think Aaron Boone's also thinking about the 162 in that decision.
Okay, and if he gets through that whole inning, pitches an inning and a third, and maybe then you go to Weaver and it ends it, then Devin Williams is fully available tonight.
Yeah, but don't you also want to continue to test Devin Williams upon his return to relevance?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think so. I think that's a difference.
Why?
It's because if you need to keep testing Devin Williams, then you have a doubt about Devin Williams.
Yeah, but he's put together three consecutive good performances. It's the bottom of the order. Like, it's a nice safety spot to go to.
Evan, you're answering your own question.
What's
because
that?
He's put together two or three pretty solid performances. Do you really have a question about him anymore?
Yeah, so, still, I do. You're trying to guide him back to his confidence.
He's a high-end, should be one of the best closers in baseball, and he went through a little blip, and he seems back on track. You really got to keep testing him?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Clearly, he failed yesterday.
Yeah, but if you're managing, as you said, the 162, you also have to think about giving him clean opportunity.
That was a clean opportunity. It's the bottom of the order with a three-run lead.
Oh my God. How
is this a bad decision? You guys
are
crazy.
Because Cruz was already in the game.
Cruz was already in the game for a third of an inning. And if your excuse is he pitched 2 days earlier, then don't go to him for a third of an inning. He has to stay in there. He's your second most reliable reliever.
Right.
If you're still looking to gain confidence on Devin Williams, good for you. You can't just be in a spot where, bottom of the order. You're playing a damn good team in the Padres. And you don't know if it was going to get rained out tonight either. You're worried
so
about
do you
days
want
off.
To just bury Devin Williams, though he's coming off of back-to-back good performances?
No. He's saying, three straight good performances. Stop treating him with kid gloves. He's supposed to be one of the best relievers in baseball.
Yeah, but he's not. Right now he's not, so you can't do that. That's bad management.
Okay, so how do you take out a hot reliever.
Right, so how do you get him, to your point, with taking Cruz out? That's also bad managing.
I didn't think last night was bad managing at all. Mm-hmm. I completely disagree with you guys. And I killed Boone yesterday for what I didn't like, but I thought this was a simple example of guys didn't execute. And the guy who really didn't execute was Luke Weaver. I mean, I know bases loaded two out isn't the easiest situation ever, but does he have to give up back-to-back extra bases?
No, he doesn't.
Does he have to?
We could cut him a little break, having to again come in and try to clean up Devin Williams' mess. Right. And look, now what does this mean, by the way? You built up Devin Williams a little bit only for him to implode, so now we're going to restart this, and then what, be in a situation a week and a half from now where you're doing the same damn thing again?
No, I think...
So look, what's the plan here?
What you do next is a very fair question, because I believe that Devin Williams should have been pulled from the closer's role a month ago. Aaron Boone waited a while to do it. Mm-hmm. He finally did it when it was obvious. And I thought, okay, now you got to work back his confidence. And it looked like that was happening with his last three performances. Yesterday was a little bit of a step back. Where do I use him next? Probably another lowish leverage situation. I got to get him right. The Yankee bullpen is completely different if I have good Devin Williams and not crappy Devin Williams.
No, I mean, that's obvious. But I think last night it was a situation that Devin Williams, or not Devin Williams, Cruz could have got himself out of. He didn't need to go to Devin Williams.
But it's not about needing to. It's also about this was a good spot for him. He hadn't pitched in 3 days. He's the eighth inning guy now with Weaver out. It's the bottom of the order.
So leave Cruz in for the bottom of the order and throw Devin Williams in, hopefully still with a lead in the ninth.
I'm not doing that. Not against top of the order. I wouldn't want that.
I wouldn't have gone.
I don't like that spot.
Period, Evan. You already survived the rain delay. Again, tonight looks like they're going to play, but you didn't know that last night. Let Cruz pitch the inning. If he gets into trouble, all right, make the call. Go to Weaver. Wipe your hands and tuck a win against the Padres in your pocket.
I disagree with you.
Okay.
I thought Boone was perfect last night.
And now if they go and get swept here, then that's three losses. You can't just punt games because you're getting Williams.
It wasn't a punt game. I hate that phrase. It's so stupid,
okay.
A punt game.
You can't put your...
He went to Devin Williams in the eighth inning with a three-run lead. He pulled him before
he blew the lead,
and your closer then blew the game. That's not a punt game.
Did he take a better pitcher currently out for a worse pitcher when he didn't have to last night?
Well,
yes or no?
In the short sample size of this season, he's a worse pitcher, but you're trying to get Devin Williams back to be the elite closer that he was.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah,
I'm trying to win games.
The way to win games overall is to get Devin Williams back.
Did they win games without Devin Williams last year?
Yeah, but you also had Clay Holmes in the bullpen, who's not there anymore.
Did they win games with Clay Holmes blowing every game last year?
They won games, yes.
Okay.
He was also an all-star in the first half of the year last year.
Clay Holmes was a mess the whole second half of the year. I don't want to hear this. The team is not in a position. They're 19-16 now.
I think you're irrational.
I'm not being irrational.
I think the Nick game.
I'm tired of this.
I think the Nick game and the Yankee game broke him last night.
It wasn't a good night. It wasn't a good
night. I think he had a rough night.
I had a rough night. You think it was daisies last night? No. You think I went in the backyard and lit up a fat blunt and said, "What a night"? No, the night sucked. But don't give me this nonsense that Cruz should have been pulled.
I'm gonna give it to you. I think Aaron Boone managed perfectly last night. Let's go to Dom in Edgewater, New Jersey. How are you, Dom?
Well, you guys just gave me the perfect thing to rant, because, Evan, you could not be any more wrong, okay? Let me explain something to you.
Go.
This guy's going three... Hold on. Excuse me. Hold on. Let me finish.
All I said was go. I didn't interrupt you.
Okay. Sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry. Okay. You could not be any more wrong, okay? This guy has blown three saves already. Pete Alonso ruined his confidence from last year with the home run, and I'm not blaming Pete Alonso, because Devin Williams, that's his own fault. But... last night, I'm sorry, I agree with Lugauer on this one. We need to win games, okay? I'm sick and tired of seeing Devin Williams, and I'm not being irrational because I watched a game last night, okay? Cruz goes in for two pitches, gets the third out, which, by the way, was a very fortuitous bounce for the Yankees, which is a surprise because the Yankees never really get any fortuitous bounces, which is fine. But going back, you know, it seems like, Evan, and I don't want to say this because it's funny, you pointed out with Jason Tatum and how he made excuses. Well, it seems like you're making excuses for Devin Williams. And the reason, I don't know why, but to be honest with you, he had no business pitching in last night's game. All Fernando right. Cruz has a 1.45 ERA.
Well, okay, but
he's
couple
the
of
best
things.
Yankee
couple
reliever.
Of things. Couple
he's
of things the- I want to address on that. First of all, I have no pig in this fight. What was the animal again? Dog in this fight.
Like, he did cow yesterday, Tiki.
I have no cow in this fight. I don't care about Devin Williams personally, even though he seems like a wonderful guy. Mm-hmm. I said a few weeks ago I would take him out of the closer's role because I wouldn't want this situation to get even worse, to avalanche, if you will. So I got no reason to defend the guy. I'm not hating on the guy. I'm going to call it like it is. And here is how I view it like it is. I need to find a way to get this guy back to being really good. He's one of the best closers in baseball. He was one of the best closers in baseball. And I'm not willing to just say he sucks now on May 6th. I'm sorry. I'm not willing to just say, well, Pete Alonso broke him. There's nothing you can do. I got to find a way.
But you do kind of want to say that.
Well, you can say it. I'm not willing
to say it. You keep asking it.
I keep asking what?
Did Pete Alonso break Devin?
Well, I don't know what's happened because that's the line of demarcation on when the man has started to struggle. Mm. So did that moment, just like it's helped Pete, is that like the line in their careers that have changed their trajectory? Maybe. But that's not my problem right now. My problem right now is if I'm the Yankees, is I got to get him right. So he put together three performances in a row in which he started to look like Devin Williams. That's a fact. Three of them.
Mm-hmm.
He now hasn't pitched in 2 days. I got a three-run lead. It's the top of the eighth inning. I'm facing the bottom of the batting order. Dude, you couldn't write an easier or better script to get this guy going. And he failed. Like, I admit it. He wasn't good last night.
Right.
Some of it was bad luck with the bad contact. I get the mound was a mess. I get that Mike Schilt was arguing. Either way, he didn't get the job done. But I looked at it last night, if we're being fair, that this was the perfect moment to try to get him going. So where am I wrong? This is Monday morning quarterbacking times 10 by some of you people.
Anybody at the game or watching the game last night said, why the hell are you taking Cruz out? You want to say you want to get him right and he's put good performances, that's fine. The Padres are the best team the Yankees have played in a couple weeks. You want to throw 7, 8, 9, that's a good lineup still. And the bottom line, Evan, is no matter any way you slice it, three runs is not big enough in that spot. The Padres could come back like that and they did. Okay, that's the reason the save freaking stat is three runs or less. If that's a 5-run lead, maybe. 3-run lead, you don't take your second-best reliever out of the game after a third of an inning for a guy because you want to get him right.
We'll get more of your calls on this. We'll get back to the Knicks as well. And has Spike Lee proven himself as a complete fraud?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.